City Pubcast. This is your host, Ben Raskin, recording live from the Main Street Studios in Salt Lake City. Have you missed me? I've missed you guys. Oh, I've missed every laugh. I've missed all 17 listeners of the Pubcast so much that I have dedicated both time, energy, and money into relaunching the Salt Lake City Pubcast. So anyway, thanks for joining us. This is great. We are doing a mini show, like kind of what we did a couple of weeks ago after the bomb threat that happened in front of the club. I figure if there's going to be a major explosion anywhere near this club, it should probably be in the studio with me on mic. But with that said, we're going to start off the show with something a little bit different. We are going to not talk about the new studio. We're not going to talk about the fantastic sound work, the new equipment, the microphones, headphones, the bodega worth of ladies and hanger-ons out in the lobby, in the green room, getting ready to join us. But we're going to do a reading from one of my blogs. And I know you're saying, boy, that's a little self-serving. And I go, well, unfortunately, this entire podcast is nothing but one self-serving event. So with that said, we are going to choose a reading from two blogs ago, aptly titled Sayonara Suckwads. Sayonara Suckwads, a reading by Ben Raskin. You guys are a collective group of ass clowns. That's right, you. Every one of you knuckle bunnies, chuckle bunnies, nickel knacks, pickle fucking crack. I can't read this very well, but you know who you are. Every last one of you that follow me on Twitter or so-called friends with me on Facebook are insensitive, pathetic knuckle draggers who should be hunted up and put into camps. And by camps, I mean those camps. I've been putting myself out there telling you about my inner fears, personal tragedies, and professional shortcomings without a single word about what's been going on behind my back. I've been an open book for over 123 blogs over the course of 2 years, and not yet a single member of the massive interweb has had the common courtesy to write, to tweet, send a messenger, perhaps by a pigeon, or swing by the bar to fill me in on the big secret. And to those friends and family that I see in the real world, go suck a fire hydrant. Your services as confidants and amigos are over. I'm moving on. Sayonara, suckwads. Papa Benny's on a brand new train. Destination, as far away as my $23 can take me. Hopefully it's far away from you backstabbing lying pigs. Dry your eyes, you backwater chatter puke monkeys. I'm done with the collective lot of you. I hope a wet bar towel saturated in SARS, rotting chicken livers, and full-blown AIDS gets jammed down your two-faced throats, and your dog gets run over by a street cleaner. A slow-moving street cleaner driven by a drunk pedophilia who dabbles in taxidermy. You know, somebody you might find in the mirror when you're coming up with your grand cabal to keep me out of the loop and fill me in with your treacherous lies. The only thing that makes all of your deception palatable if every last one of you put a corn cob rolled in soiled kitty litter up your butt and begged for forgiveness. Maybe, and I mean maybe, I'd accept your apologies and allow us to move forward as pals. Maybe. Probably won't happen because there isn't one person in this group of turkey chokers that has the honor and decency to pay me with the common courtesy of giving a much-needed heads-up. There isn't one person with the moral fortitude to send me a warning sign, some sort of proverbial flick of the nose that maybe something is afoot and maybe I should address it. No way, Jose. You guys just decided to relish in the free funny and let me go through it the last 2 years completely ignorant of the growing problem facing not just me, but more importantly, you. I know it's water under the bridge now. I might as well tell you that why I've decided to skirt any and all relationships I've made with every single person I've come into contact with the last 38 years. How come no one has told me I've become a porker? A fat little piggy who feeds his face with crap food washed down by tankards of booze. Where was the chum who said, Hey, Ben, maybe you should put down the Boston cream pie and try eating a carrot. Maybe you don't need to drink a baker dozen's worth of brews, and it wouldn't kill you to do a push-up. Why aren't your tears, also more importantly, why are your tears made up of blue cheese dressing and when you get cut, you bleed queso? Maybe you should drink a little more water and a little less Schlitz gaze. Have you thought about going for a run, or were you going to eat a 1,900-calorie meal in your truck on the way to work? Or simply, how come not a single one of you had the balls to say, hey, Benny, you look like shit? That would have been nice. Some sort of mini intervention that could have put me back on the track to a healthier lifestyle. Besides extension ladders, nothing is more of a threat for white middle-aged men than heart disease. And instead of some small engagement to try living a little healthier, you've all tempted me with heavy cream-based meals and gallons of hooch that have put me into a zombie-like state, unable to do anything but veg out in front of the television and make bowel movements that could stop a tank. Jolly fat man, my 42-inch waistband. You've been killing me with your kindness, and you should all be ashamed of yourselves. You wouldn't put a mirror, a beautifully delicious, well-cut Colombian marching powder in front of a drug addict or give Romney the White House. So why would you tempt me with delicious baked goods and beef stroganoff? Huh? Instead, I had to find about this out on my own. Other job, working at the Tribune. Stringer, part-time stringer. I went to Steiner Aquatic Center a couple of Tuesdays ago to do a follow-up on a high school swimming story. While waiting for the meet to begin, I wandered around the facility and decided, simply on a whim, that I would step on the dreaded scale. It was one of those that you'd find in a doctor's office with its weights on a lever that stand directly in front of you, sliding over the weights, finding the right notch, waiting for the balance beam arm to find the middle. I knew I wasn't going to be happy with the results, but I figured it would be interesting to see how far I've slipped. Now, in fairness to you, I've always been a chunky dude. I might not ever have been a good looking with my shirt off, but I used to consider myself somewhat of an athlete. I was a pretty good rugby player in college and for a little bit of men's league afterwards, and I can even hold my own in a little bit of pickup basketball. Hell, I even boxed a little bit to a little bit of success. Bigger than that. Let's not talk about all the other accolades that I'm more than happy to lavish upon myself. Little known fact about Big Ben Raskin. This tubby little tankard of a guy has run not just one and not just two, not just three, but count them, four Salt Lake City marathons. And I've enjoyed who am I kidding? I hated running those marathons, but I could scamper around the woods a little bit as well. I used to do things like lifting weights, but 24-hour fitness became a little bit too much of a sleazy meat market that was distracting for me to go to. It didn't help that nobody, and this includes both the fellas and the ladies, ever tried to pick me up. So much of a meat market, it really is damaging to one's psyche to find out that you're the fourth best option. And so, notwithstanding hooking up at the gym, I got out of the routine of working out. I decided that it was easier to write a blog and eat an entire pizza than sweating through a boxing workout. Finishing my evenings with multiple cocktails and snoring through the night became the norm instead of the exception. Literally, licking my plate clean became standard operating procedure, and not one of you trash humpers had the common courtesy to give me a heads up. Now, there's been some finger pointing, and I want to make sure that all these fingers are not pointed at the one person who is immune to all this. Before you start defending your lack of action and start blaming Aaron, I'm here to tell you that she is off the hook. She is clean and free. She's been given a good bag of deal donuts. Not donuts, because she would never let me have a donut. She's been nothing but an incredible ball-busting tyrant when it comes to my diet. Aaron has browbeat me into a sniveling mess when it comes to dinner decisions, and her photographic memory with what monstrosities I put into my body might very well easily be her last thoughts of Alzheimer's ever takes her. She's been witness to more heroic eating events in my life than I can contribute to list. And through it all, Erin has been a constant nag telling me to clean up my diet because she won't be taking care of me when I have a massive stroke induced by poor eating choices. But in fairness, because of her love and support, I think that the river of ranch that might be sailing down my arm if I were to cut it, right now it's just currently a stream. And then for the rest of you, yeah, I say to hell with it. If you guys are going to help me, You guys aren't going to help me. I'm going to help myself. After stepping off that scale at Steiner with a number that is between me and my gods, I know it was time to get back to the gym. I once fought at Fight for Your Life, and I knew that's exactly where I needed to go back. Nestled in South Salt Lake, it's a bare-bones concrete prison of heavy bags, jump ropes, and pull-up bars. The workouts are intense, the atmosphere is electric, and the goals are simple. They want you to push yourself simply harder than you ever thought you could. Because I don't have the willpower to do myself, I am going to have to put my chubby, hairy mess of blubber-covered and beer-battered body in their capable hands. So, with that said, I went to my first class last week. This was after the swimming meet, which is the fact that you see everyone as fit as can be, and then you look at yourself in the mirror and you know that somewhere along the way, you were given a bad deal. But I went to my first class, and I swear to God, I thought I was going to die. My stomach was in a state of civil disobedience after that midday meal that I consumed, and I was unable to stop the howitzer flatulence shooting out of my bottom. I was crampy, sore, completely out of shape, moody, bloated, and barely able to finish the first half of the workout. It was a miserable series of burpees, push-ups, sit-ups, and jump lunges. And to make matters worse, Angela made us run at the beginning of the class. My moves swung so freely across my chest that I swear I could hear Gabriel's trumpet off in the distance between my sobs and grunts. For 30 minutes, I pushed myself through the fierce workout poorly, but this pubcaster did not quit. The best part of boxing, of course, is the moment where we get to wrap our wrist and get to go to work on the heavy bags. I've always loved the second half of these workouts, but I could barely lift my arms. They felt like they were covered in bacon fat dipped in cement. I approached the bags and went to work trying to remember my combinations. Jab, right, straight right, left hook to the body, left hook to the head, straight right, left hook to the body, left hook to the head, straight right. It was a mess, but somewhere between the hooks, the straight rights, the jabs, something magical happened. While hitting the bag fruitlessly, I channeled somewhat into my old self. I pivoted on the ball of my left foot, swung my hips clockwise, and unleashed a left hook that clapped off the bag. For one moment, I felt like Iron Mike, Sugar Ray Robinson, and Chris Brown all rolled into one. In golf, they always talk about having the one stroke that makes you want to come back and do it again. For boxing, it's the single punch. A perfect punch thrown confidently, with the authority that sounds like the wrecking ball destruction and doom for an opponent. In the closing moments of the workout, I found my one punch that was going to get me back to Fight for Your Life. And here's the best part. I did it without all you donkey-riding tool bags. I hope you've enjoyed watching me slowly poison myself through your phony baloney smiles and tubs of marinara stuff. As of now, it starts today. I am on my own, and I am not going to let you bog me down with your poor decisions that contribute to my even poorer eating decisions. I'm on to every last one of your schemes, and I'm not going to fall prey to it again. Unless, of course, if it's a peanut brittle shake from the Creamery and Provo. Holy Toledo, that is a good shake. That was written from a place with a little bit of venomous there, a little venomous behavior. But anyway, I... thanks for listening to that. I guess the reason why I read that starting out with is because I kind of want to prove the point that as much as I love this podcasting thing, it's writing that I enjoy more. I enjoy the blogging. I enjoy writing for the Tribune. I enjoy sending letters and emails and Twitter. I love Twitter for the opportunities that you get to carve sentences out of nowhere. You know, you find ideas. You harvest these experiences. And you try to encapsulate them into some sort of format that people can easily consume. You know, something that they want to listen to. I want to read. And for me, this podcasting thing is really difficult simply because while I can be loquacious behind the bar, sitting there just rambling on and on for hours on end, a lot of times I do a lot of repeating. I don't have a point of reference. And I started this podcast off because we're kicking off with the new studio to kind of prove that I enjoy the writing part. So, I mean, essentially that Sinar Suckwads, which, come on, to be frank, it's a pretty good title for a blog. But Sinar Suckwads, I wrote that because of one single line in it. And in reading it out loud, it actually didn't work as well as it did. And to be honest with you, I was laughing so hard in my head. You know, and mostly this is what you do when you do these blogs and you do these podcasts. these personal things that kind of reflect yourself, you can just, you try to have one, you know, you want to find that one punch that makes you want to come back and do it again. And for me, it was the idea of someone's dog getting ran over by a slow-moving street cleaner driven by some sort of pedophile, you know, who actually dabbles in taxidermy. And I don't know. I'm not going to over-explain a joke. You guys are smart enough for that, not for me to do that. I mean, the only thing you guys are dumb enough to do is actually listen this far. But, you know, it was all based upon one joke that I wanted to tell, and that was the single joke. And with that, which becomes, you know, the that one good, solid left hook to the body that makes the sound that wants you to come back. And so I wanted to kind of give some sort of aperitif to your brain, you know, to after having to endure listening to that, and read something that I wrote for the Tribune that got published on November 15th, 2012. In the close-up section, which deals, I work as a city beat writer. It's as a stringer, which is a part-time. It's a freelancing job with credentials from the paper. I got an opportunity to meet a really, really special girl and have an opportunity to both interview her and her father, her mother, her coach, and talk to some volunteer organization that she's involved with. And I thought I had a decent enough tale. So you're going to indulge me once again. And with the exception of the headline, which I did not like, it's just, it's so corny. But I guess at the end, you know, the fact that we got her story out there is the most important thing. But kind of a corny title, but indulge me once again. Highland swimmer gets a kick out of service. And here we go. Prep swimming, outside aquatics, DeJunior has a rich life in volunteering. So we're going to be talking about a young girl named Zandra Pryor. Here we go. On the starting blocks, Zandra Pryor is focused, standing above the pool, loosening the muscles in her arms and legs one last time before she sets up for the starting bell. She goes through her game plan. The details in her swim will be measured not just in the time, but the efficiency of her strokes, kicks, and breaths as she takes her position. The Highland junior fights through the antsy moments and seconds before the race, taking control of her emotions as she awaits her entry into the water. She's been here before. Since she was 3 years old, Pryor has spent countless hours swimming laps, perfecting her stroke and maintaining focus. The 100-meter butterfly specialist knows she isn't swimming just for herself, but for her team. Swimming might be an individual sport, but for Pryor, every event and every relay is for the team. Quote, "The more I get in the water, the more comfortable I get," she said. "We have a role on this team, and I wanted to do my best." Finishing second in the Class 4A 100-meter butterfly and fifth in the 200-meter individual medley was her contribution to Highland's eighth-place finish last year. For Pryor, this became a motivating factor entering the season, a chance to make her mark in the water and help the captain lead her team. Quote, "That's the trick. You have to find the balance." Stretch. "That's the trick. You have to balance the social with swimming, or else you'll resent swimming," Pryor said. "Swimming is supposed to be fun." End quote. Pryor's discipline and attitude in the pool are a swimming coach's dream. Highland coach Wes Johnson said her dedication to her education, prowess in the water, makes her a role model for the team. Quote, "She doesn't know how to have an off season," Johnson said. "Zandra is a great athlete." Pryor is accustomed to big things. She's been involved with the Girl Scouts since the third grade. Through her experiences in volunteering, she has learned the work that she has done with her troops affects not just the community, but the world at large. Hurricane Ike decimated the Bahama Islands of Inagua in 2008. Buildings were destroyed, homes leveled, and schools left in ruin. Working with her Girl Scout troop, Pryor helped raise money and organize book drives to rebuild the razed library in Matthewtown. Visiting the island, she and her troop worked with the displaced citizens and rebuilt the children's section of the new library. Quote, "You wouldn't think that rebuilding a library would change them that much, but it did," Pryor said. "You knew that we had made a big impact for them." She was conferred her Silver Award, which is the organization's highest award for a Girl Scout can earn for her efforts. Pryor, a member of the National Honor Society, who carries a 4-point GPA average, always has an interest in science, specifically biology. She wants to pursue a medical degree when she enters college in 2 years and plans to major in bioengineering. But she remains focused on what's important now. Her life is driven by school, Girl Scouts, and swimming. Quote, "We have a really good chance of winning state this year because we have a lot of up-and-coming new swimmers," Pryor said. "We've worked really hard to do the best we can, and I'm excited about the season," end quote. So what do we get out of that? Well, for one, this Zandra Pryor girl is a lot more talented and special than most of us will ever hope to be. And certainly when I was 17 years old, I never had her drive, her dedication, her commitment to her sport, and the ability to know that there is not a second to waste in any point in your life. It was a spectacular moment getting to meet her and learn some about her story, and hopefully the story came out okay. I'm pretty happy about it, mostly because much like the golfer finding the one hit that keeps him coming back to the links, to the boxer who has the one punch in the gym, and to like the blogs and the podcasts that have those one moments that I'm really proud of, this one in particular was being able to transition her work with Girl Scouts and just talking about the destruction on this poor island in the Caribbean and what she was able to do with it. So getting her story out there meant a lot to me. And in a large way, that's what keeps me going back to the Tribune. So, but anyway, where are we now? Let's talk about this. We do a lot of these setup stories and, you know, like hey, why Benny, where's the podcast? I don't know why. I don't have any friends that are Italian. But, hey, you're going to make it stories on the podcast. And so where we're at right now is that we have built above the bar at Keys on Main a studio. And the owner of the club named George Kelly, he is going to be calling it the Main Street Studio, which is great. Ties into his Keys on Main theme, and it's an absolutely amazing structure. We're going to put some photos of the studio up so people can see what it is. And it's got professional equipment, and most of all, it's got the expertise and talent of George running the place to help me get the best sound, best quality of podcast, and the ability to kind of record these things in such a fashion that we can actually put them up in a timely, in a timely fashion. That's something I've never had. I've never had fashion that was both timely because I've been dressing like I'm still in 1991. Is it just the worst thing in the world when you find a fashion that works for one period of time and you're going to force it for the rest of your days? I mean, thank God I never did that thing. I think it was 1993-ish to 94-ish where bell-bottom pants made a little bit of a return. Because, frankly, I don't need anything more chubby hanging off my body. And certainly, I don't need an extra 4, you know, acres of denim at the bottom of my boots. But anyway, what I want to do is I want to get back in the habit of doing one of these a week. And I want to not bore you with having to just do, you know, me rambling onto a microphone by myself alone in the studio. I need to bring out some guests. And so, and the first step, kind of getting back into recording podcast, was we needed to get it out of my house. Never really had the right equipment for it. You know, everything we had was the lowercase we. But with those we never had the right equipment to do it. And with George's generosity, I can borrow his stuff and be able to, you know, make a go of it. So getting a better sound out was big. And also, frankly, I don't like having people come to my house. You know, you ask them, it's basically, here's a cup of coffee, here's a bagel, sit down in front of this microphone and start rambling on. Or feed me bullshit so that I can feed off upon. Anyway, so number one was getting a place to record these that was kind of a third location, you know, away from the house. Two, the website was atrocious. And you know what? It's like in this day and age, This isn't the birth of the internet anymore. You know, it's like everybody lives online, and the worst thing in the world, not the worst thing in the world, I think childhood cancer might be the worst thing in the world. You know, a bad-looking website is not child cancer. But with the availability of all these internet service providers and people who do web design and all the fancy bumbly-jumbly things they do online, there's no excuse not to have a sharp-looking website. And so with that, of course, we went to Agave Web. We're going to do some trade with the owner and proprietor of Agave Web, Gwen Fisher. And he's going to rebuild the website. So it looks, at least by my estimation, as a cool place to kind of go visit and start loading up stuff. We're going to link up the blog. We're going to link up a little bit of the Tribune stuff, maybe get a little traction going that way. And have it a lot easier to upload into both iTunes and to get it on Stitcher. In talking to a lot of people, the general consensus is with podcasts is that I think they know what they are now. They just don't know how to enjoy them. For me, I learned how to use the podcast. I've talked about this, but it's worth repeating. I learned how to use it when I was working at ARUP simply because I was doing specimen processing, and I basically threw on my headphones and was alone inside of my earbuds for 8 hours a day. That's all I did was listen to podcasts. And that was the place for me to do it. Well, currently now, because of my schedule, I listen to podcasts in the morning when, you know, doing stuff like yard work, cleaning the house, walking the dogs. You can't listen to podcasts while writing blogs or working for the Tribune. And you certainly can't wait. There's no way I would ever be able to bartend listening to a podcast, although there are times I wish I could live podcast a bar shift. And if we ever get lapel mics, I swear to God, we're going to do that. We're going to put it up, and I'll put some of these telescopic mics that we can basically mic up every customer comes up there, and you can hear what I go through. We'll give you a, you know what? We'll make that one of the projects. We'll do that in 2-3 episodes from now. We will live podcast a portion of my bartending shift, and then we will throw that up so you can kind of get a sense of what it's like. It'll be like the ultimate POV for slinging drinks behind the bar. But getting the website redone was a big thing for me. And the second one was kind of really committing to doing this. And it's been hard to be really, you know, it's hard to get involved in a new media by yourself. And obviously partnership, collaboration, and working with people is the best way to really stay focused and kind of stick with it. And I think what I'm going to be doing is we're going to be hopefully finding maybe a co-host that can help me out here, and somebody who can help with a little bit of the heavy lifting of this doing the show, because it's difficult to kind of put them together. You know, the technology behind it. I'm not up to snuff on all this stuff. You know, I'm not, like I said, you know, I'm a child of the '70s, graduated in the '90s. I'm Gen X, man. I'm more concerned about my family and why my daddy didn't hug me. No, but that was horrible. I don't know what that was. I think that was my Santa Cruz voice leaning towards where was Papa? You know, but anyway. So we're going to get some pictures up. We're going to start doing these a little more frequently. We're going to try and record them on Monday. Hopefully get them up Monday night so you can listen to them on Tuesday. Like always, comments are appreciated. Follow us on Twitter. Follow us on our Facebook page. Check out the website. Give me criticism. Give me brutal criticism. You know, and I mean, it would be really nice to get a little bit of input on this. And also, if you want to be a guest on the show, we would love to have you. And that we is the capital we. That's a capital W. We'd love to have you on the show. And certainly, if you're talking about things Salt Lake, bar life, or you got a take that you want to kind of put out there, we would like to sit down with you and just rap for a little bit and put something funny up on the interweb. So with that said, I want to thank everybody for being patient. I want to thank everybody for being rad. I've gotten a lot of nice comments from people, and we've had some fun shows, and I kind of want to get back in the middle of this. I don't think you're going to appreciate until you've done this how much fun it is to actually be in front of a mic, looking at a computer, sweating through, you know, an undershirt and an overshirt, trying to make sure that you have enough words coming out to fill the space that is between your ears right now. So with that said, my name is Ben Raskin. Thanks for listening to the Salt Lake City Pubcast. Take care and talk to you soon. Bye-bye.